Bill, the holidays are coming and people are starting to stress out. People who lock their keys in their garage and...
some of those people, geniuses, who just for a second just had a lapse of memory. I don't understand it myself, but...
But really, with the holidays come complaining and stress and a lot of sadness, too. I was talking about Michael's Madrigal last night at St. Cletus in Countryside. And as I'm sitting there, it's obviously a church, so it touches you spiritually. The music was amazing. Mm-hmm. And then I thought back, you know, back when I was growing up and we went to church on a regular basis, my grandma and the rest of my family would go to St. Cletus, one of the few churches in the area that had a 5 o'clock mass.
Yeah.
So it was, that's part of the reason why I had some tears in my eyes, I think, too.
Sure, it's nostalgic.
Very emotional time, the holidays.
Yeah.
So with us in the studio, Dr. John Duffy. He's a clinical psychologist, best-selling author, certified life coach, parenting and relationship expert.
WWE champion. A couple of times. I see him.
I'm looking for Rousey.
You'll take care of Rousey.
You would hit a woman?
Rousey. No.
There's no way. Are you kidding?
No.
Her, though, you could. She'd welcome it.
I would never get a hit in, even if I were up for it.
She has actually said, I know this is the reason we brought you here, but she says, I'll never fight a guy because it would be weird to have people in a room cheering for a man hitting a woman, and I don't want that to happen.
That's
so
actually
she won't
a really,
a
that would be incredibly dissonant, wouldn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, that's true.
All right, well, Dr. John Duffy is here, and it is such an emotional time, the holidays, good, bad, and otherwise.
Right, right, and we forget the bad and otherwise sometimes. So we have this demand on ourselves, like this is supposed to be Rockwellian, right? You know, even, and if you look into Rockwell's life, it wasn't always so idyllic,
right.
You know, but we think it's supposed to be this Curry and Ives portrait of, like, you know, this beautiful, idyllic holiday life. And it usually doesn't work that way. So we've got to take some of the demand off ourselves that this be, like, perfect and excellent, because it is an emotional time. I was working with a man this week who loves the holidays so much, but in the last couple of years, he lost both his parents and his brother. In, right around this time of year. And so this is a really sad time for him. And he thought, well, I'm just going to gut through it. And my press with him was, no, experience what you experience. Whatever you experience is legitimate. And sometimes it's sad. I think sometimes, like, this is a really poignant time of year, especially if you've lost something or if it's been particularly difficult. People take stock. I mean, it's kind of this arbitrary end of something. And I think we look back and we think, how did this year go? Was this great for me? Did I have some losses? Do I hope 2016 is different than 2015? And I don't mind that. But in order to do that, you have to take away the perfectionism of the holidays.
So
no one is perfect.
And nobody's perfect.
The family that says they're perfect, or the illusion that they give out that they're perfect, there's something inside going on in their house.
I have to say, the luxury of a job like mine, and it is a luxury, is you realize nobody's perfect, because the people you think are perfect sometimes are sitting right across from me and they're struggling the most, you know? And and holding up that perfect lens is real stressful. You know what I mean? To seem perfect to the rest of the world when you're having these internal struggles and you have that idea of, like, you know, outside this house, we're not going to talk about any of our difficulties. That is trying. You know what I mean? That's easier than saying, you know what? We've had a really tough year and we could use some help. A little potluck for us would be great.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. The first few years after my mom died, Christmas was one of the hardest times, especially Christmas Eve, because I would look over at where she used to sit all the time when we were all opening presents, and the first two or three years were just awful, just thinking about her not being there. And then there was like a switch that I go, instead of focusing on how much I miss her, think about all the hundreds and thousands of happy memories I have at her at Christmas. Made all the difference.
That's what a great shift, right? A little paradigm shift, like, changes everything, right? So you can honor her memory by enjoying the time, you know, which
but
is not what most of us think.
But he had to get to that point, right? That's not something that switch doesn't flip at the same time for everyone.
No, it doesn't. And in fact, a lot of times in the wake of somebody's death, I don't know if you've heard this theory of an empty chair
at a
Thanksgiving table or at you know, opening gifts at Christmas. But, you know, like, sometimes just to honor somebody who's not there anymore, you hold this chair empty and you kind of take a moment. But I think there's a difference between taking a moment and letting it kind of color negatively the entire holiday season.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that becomes something that then just feels awful for everybody. Nobody really gets to enjoy any of it.
Yeah.
And you're modeling something for your kids about how this time of year is supposed to be that you probably don't want to model.
Yeah. So true.
I was talking to a friend of mine who was telling me about positive psychology, and there's a man responsible for it, and you're probably aware of him, Dr. Seligman.
Yes, Marty.
Yes. I knew you knew. It was really interesting. I was talking to our friend and neighbor, John, and he said, you know, for so many years, we're trying to figure out what's wrong with someone and fixing it, and that's great.
Right.
But then take people who are functioning properly and find out what they're doing right. It was fascinating to me. And you're much like that.
Yes.
And, you know, my sons talk to you. You're their therapist. And that's the approach you take. It's not, you know, you've really puffed them up. And that's so important because as a parent, I bring them down a lot.
Well, I think we do that a lot as parents, right? We have expectations of our kids, and we forget because there's a lot of anxiety around parenting kids, especially our kids' age, all of us, right? We all have kids who are teenagers and older, mm-hmm. and so there are certain demands that they have to meet, and we get anxious about like whether they're going to do that, and so we find ourselves lecturing, and we lose sight of what's amazing about our kids, what's really going to work for them in the long run, right? Even in the short run. And so I've always loved Seligman's work and this idea of positive psychology. Just the phrase itself suggests like, look at your kid in a different way, right? Look for the positives. And so when I work with a family, even in crisis, I usually lead with like, you know, tell me the greatest thing about your kid. What works well? And parents are like, well, I really want to get to what the problems are, but
right.
I'll humor you.
Yeah.
When in the end, that's really the stuff that you want to build on. You don't necessarily want to spend your time focusing on what's not working. You want to build on what is. You know, that's a big part of parenting.
Right.
That we miss sometimes.
And I bet parents, even though they're humoring you for a little bit, going, let's fix what's broken and not worry, but I bet they kind of have a glow to them when they do spend those moments focusing on the good things, don't they?
Brilliant, Bill. Yes. I mean, it shifts the whole tenor of a session when I ask parents to tell me the great things about their kids.
Yeah.
And the amazing thing is to watch the child, because almost every single time I'm able to ask that kid, did you know your mom or your dad felt that way? And usually they say, no, I can't believe it. I feel like they're just buttering me up or something.
Yeah.
And the parents are usually weepy, you know, like, you know, really, really heartfelt. So it really kind of reconfigures a session and relationships, you know, so that we can approach everything in a different way, in a more productive, positive way. And the crisis falls away fast.
Does it?
Yeah.
My mom was a wonderful woman, and she was a tough woman, and she taught me that. You know, she lost her husband young, so she had to survive on her own. And, you know, unfortunately for my husband, Jim, I'm a kind of a tough woman, too, because that's what I knew. It was a very, you know, strong woman family.
Yeah.
And she was very critical of me in a way that she was just trying to make me better. But I resented that a lot, and it was funny because I would run into people that said, oh, my God, your mom brags about you all the time. And it's like, how about a little for me? Give me a little something.
Right. That is something that we parents could do more of, right? Because we tend to save all the criticism for our kids. And you hear all these great things from the outside. And the kids do often wonder, like, what's the deal? Why aren't my parents saying nice things to me about me, right? And I think that's an important thing to kind of round out our relationships with our kids. I think it's okay to be critical. I think it's really important to have a high bar and a lot of expectations of your kids.
Because right.
if you lower your bar, they'll drop theirs too. But to let them know, like, hey, here's what I really love about you. Wendy, you're good at that, by the way. You're good at saying, you know, here's what's really cool and unique about you. And I know I'm hard on you sometimes, you know. And I think that balance helps a lot and gives kids a rudder that they can work with.
There's a story, and you know who Norman Lear is, the
yes.
creator of All in the Family and so many other great shows. Wendy and I had him on. He wrote a book, and I read the book a few weeks ago. He tells the story in his book about the TV Hall of Fame on their first induction ceremony picked him. He was one of seven people, Milton Berle and a couple of other big names,
man,
to be in the TV Hall of Fame. And he was so excited, and he called his mom, and he told the story. And then there's silence on the other end of the phone, and she goes eventually, well, if that's what they want to do, who am I to say? You know. And I thought that story was so perfect.
No,
because everybody can relate to that, where you tell your parents something that you think is the best thing in the world, and they're like, oh, if that's what makes you happy.
Right, right. It's amazing how deflating we can be as parents when we're not very aware of the power of our words, right?
And you know we what don't I mean to be all the time.
Right.
Sometimes we do.
Right, 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 right. And you, Mrs. Lear, who must have been a wonderful woman, because sure. Norman Lear was a genius, probably meant good things by that. Like, you know, hey, I think you can do more. You right. know, right. All in the Family is nice, but let's
there's
see
always
a little something
else.
Yeah, there's always something
yep.
else.
Yep.
And something you had mentioned earlier, and then we're going to take a quick break, and we have some callers for you. 312-981-7200. We've got Dr. John Duffy in the studio. I was constantly lecturing my teenager. He would take showers in the morning, and granted, great, he's taking a shower, wants to look good for school, but, you know, Michael, you can't take a 45-minute shower in the morning or get up 45 minutes earlier.
Right.
It's just either a quick shower. So he's been late every day, and I said, if I was your first period teacher, I would flunk you. He goes, but I'm doing okay. I said, I don't care. That's showing disrespect.
Right.
And so Jim and I, every morning, it's like, come on, the bell's going to ring. And Michael's like, yeah, I'm coming. But, you know, he doesn't. So finally, I was so sick of lecturing and getting stressed out about it that I said, you know what? You're thinking about going away to college, maybe Belmont University in Nashville. That's all well and good. But, you know, right now, Dad and I don't trust that you're going to make it to your classes on time. So until you can prove to us that you can make it on your own on time, maybe, you know, COD's looking good. Not that anything's wrong with COD.
No, right.
But he wants to go to Nashville. So I think that made more sense to him than me just going, come on. Well, you're going to be late.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put
no,
it in his court.
I like the leverage of that. I like giving him the power and saying, well, you know, I had a dad in my office recently who said whose son was underperforming in school. And he said, you know, I really love you. I think you're a really capable guy. Right now, you're not the best investment to send away to school. Hmm. He kind of removed himself, you know, and said, you know, just pragmatically speaking, mm-hmm. you're the best. But unless you perform a little bit, I'm not willing
sure.
to drop that $20,000 or $30,000 investment a semester on you just hanging out and being late for that first class
yep.
in the morning. So, you know, I think that's a completely reasonable thing to do. And kids can wrap their brain around that. I'm not surprised that
of
Michael
course.
Can kind of get that.
Yep.
He's been on time since I said it that way.
Ah,
how about
seriously?
That?
Very nice. Very nice. Dr. John Duffy's here. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. That's the call line and the text line. People are on hold. Stay there. We'll get to your questions next. It's Bill F. and Wendy Snyder on WGN.
Dr. John Duffy in the studio with us, clinical psychologist. He's an author. The Available Parent is a great book that I really need to, we all need to be better parents. It never stops, does it, John?
It never stops. No, I mean, parenting is a lifetime sentence in a good way, I think.
Right.
Yeah, so I think we're always parenting. And, you know, even when our kids, you know, my mom still parents me on the way here. I was parented a little bit about you.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, well, yeah. I hope you do a good job on the radio this morning. You know?
Did she lick her hand and move your hair back over your ears a little bit?
If we did. Were together, I think she might have taken that tack.
All right.
All right. Well, we have some listeners every time you join us. 312-981-7200. People have some questions and concerns. And let's start out with listener Bill. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how are you?
What's going on?
Well, I wanted to ask. I'm in a bit of a fog. My wife passed away Thanksgiving night.
Oh, so sorry.
Yeah. Thank you. And so I have kids in college, and, you know, we had to send them back to school on Sunday because they have, it's like the last 3 weeks of the semester and finals and stuff. And it just would have put them, I felt if we kept them home, it just would have put them in the weeds. And we're calling each other every day and checking on each other and texting each other. But, you know, sometimes trying to get your kids to open up if something is bugging them, I mean, it's really like pulling teeth. So I was wondering if you know, like, what do I look for when they're calling and they're not, you know, they're just calling to say hi? What kind of question, I mean, can you suggest questions to try to get them to open up and share a little bit and make sure they're okay? Because it's so hard because we're all separated now.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, Bill, first of all, I'm so sorry for your loss and so recent and on such a tough day to lose your wife. So my deepest condolences there. And just listening to your demeanor, I suspect that the way you are with your kids probably gives them license and permission to talk about what they're going through. So kudos to you for that, because I think that's the first step. And it might be good, and you maybe you've already been here already, to say, you know, I've never been here before, so I don't know exactly how to do this. And so I think given that we're all adults here, maybe we can all kind of go through this together. And I can't read your minds just like you can't read mine. So let me know once in a while how you're doing and how you're feeling. Let me know that you're okay, because I'm not great at gauging that. And, you know, that's something we're going to have to work on together. And I would be kind of meta about that and talk about how you relate and what would give you some comfort in knowing, you know, because I hear your point that if they're not real forthcoming, and a lot of kids aren't, and, you know, and they may be kind of about their lives to some extent, but they've gone through this very traumatic loss as well. And I think you bring up a good point that, you know, they need to talk. The other option is that every college campus that I'm aware of has like a student counseling center. So if you feel
I've
like
already set that up. That I've already set up for them. I mean, I, you know, and they have all their friends down there. And so I think the outside family support, and I have a lot of support here from our friends and, excuse me.
No, this is so hard for you, and maybe they can put that out of their mind for a while to finish up school and process it later. I think when they come home for the holiday break is where you may get more conversation from them. John, would you?
That was my hope. They'll be home for a month and 3 weeks. But you know what? That's a great suggestion. Just level with them and just say, hey, listen, you know, we all got to, you know, help each other out here, and you know, yeah, you know, that's a great suggestion. Just level with them and say, you know, you need to kind of take on some of the responsibility of opening up to me, because, you know, I'm struggling with getting you to open up.
And you're struggling yourself.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I can tell, Bill, first of all, I think you're bringing the right vibe to your kids. And I think that's the next step is, hey, level with me. Let me know what's going on. The other thing that might give your kids some comfort is knowing that you are okay and that you're taking care of yourself. Because I can imagine college-age kids, they're very aware, even if they're not saying it, and they might be very concerned about you and how you're doing. So if they knew...
I do. I mean, you know, we're communicating 5 times a day, and we're, you know, and I tell them what I'm doing, and you know, and I keep reminding them of that there's a lot of beauty in the passing of their mother. You know, we all had time to say goodbye. And I'm sorry.
No, don't be sorry.
Not at all.
You've got us crying in the studio, too. Just so sad for you, Bill. We really are.
Well, thank you for the great advice. Bill and Wendy, I listen to you every morning, and you guys are like my morning friends as I'm driving to work. And so thanks for the advice. I will level with them, and I will let them know I'm doing good, but I'm also a little vulnerable. So, you know, we're kind of on a equal, you know, field here.
And as my Bill, not I don't own him, but, you know,
you tried to.
Radio Bill
you
said,
put in a bid.
You know, it's like all of a sudden a switch will turn. And Bill, if I can just say, that hole in your heart will be filled with like some really wonderful memories. It's just going to take some time.
Oh, yeah, I know. It's a process. And you know, I get that. And, you know, we're not the only family to go through this. And you know, I know there's, you know, brighter days ahead. You know, it's just, you know, it's just the clock. You know, in this situation, we always dread time passing, but, you know, especially as we get older, but in this situation, you know.
We wish we could rip the calendar pages away for you and make it go quicker.
Bill,
that would also be cheating, so.
Do what you need to do to get through it.
You know.
Good luck, Bill.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Take care.
We have to. That is just too much. Yeah. And we need to continue this after the news. Can you stay?
Absolutely.
If you're on hold, stay there. We will get to as many of your calls and texts as we can. We're at 312-981-7200. Dr. John Duffy in the studio with us. It's Bill Leff and Wendy Snyder on WGN. Steve, thanks. Dr. John Duffy is with us. His book is called The Available Parent. His website, drjohnduffy.com. If you have any questions or comments, 312-981-7200. There is an open line right now, but everybody else has a bunch of questions for you, John.
Okay. All right. Who shall we start with? This is a great one. We were talking about the holidays and another Bill, listener Bill. Hi, Bill. This is Dr. John Duffy.
Hello there.
You had a question for Dr. Duffy?
Yes, I do. I have two adults,
children, 35 and 36 years old. And it seems like every time our family gets together, they can't get along. And over Thanksgiving, they had a big blowout. And now they're pitting my wife and I and bringing us into the middle of it. And they said, we also have grandchildren with all of them. And every time this goes on, now, you know, every time we have a get together, they have a blowout. And now they're pitting my wife and I. If you see him, you're not going to see me. Or if you see her, you're not going to see me. Is there something that we can do to try to curtail this behavior and get them on the right track?
Yeah, you know, it's tough because you've got these adult children, Bill, but and it's particularly tough because these things tend to arise at the holidays, and you're given this ultimatum and they're in all this conflict. One thing that occurs to me immediately is even though these family situations tend to arise around Thanksgiving, around Christmas, maybe on those days, if you think about it, those days, emotions are heightened. They're probably the worst days of the year to try to manage conflict. So my immediate bias is, well, pick a different time. And I would encourage them, like as Christmas approaches or whatever your next holiday is, pick a different time and let's talk through this crisis sometime when we are not expecting something wonderful, you know. That would be my first inclination. The other is your question of, you know, is there anything I can do to really stop this? Not really. These are adults. The best you can do is let them know what the impact is on you and on the family. Like, you know, this is really trying for us. We don't look forward to the holidays the way we'd like to. So we'd really like you two to work on this. And we'd rather you didn't do it at the Thanksgiving table because nothing good is going to happen at that moment. And, you know, and I'm keenly aware of it because I can imagine that if we were sitting here talking the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, you might have been able to predict that something negative was going to happen between the two of them at that time. So my bias for you would be to stem that tide and to encourage them to work through that conflict some other time of the year, even if it means, you know, early in January. And if you're interested and you're up for it, I would even offer to be present for that conflict if you feel like it has something to do with you or the family at large. But I think the important thing is that this is the wrong time of year to try to resolve something. You know, this is the time of year to kind of be together as much as you can and to put some of those differences aside, even if they're really profound, you know. And ultimatums do not work perfectly well at Christmas or at Thanksgiving.
Well, the thing of it is my daughter and my son, they're the ones making the ultimatum. My wife and I, you know, we try to stay out of it. We've tried to get them to work together to try to, you know, it's a couple hours out of their life three or four times a year, you know, and we've gone at it at that aspect too. And it's just, I don't know, it's very frustrating and it's hurtful.
Yeah, I can tell.
Because we want to see our grandchildren. We were really looking forward to Christmas, and we don't even know if we're going to have Christmas.
Yep, no, I totally understand. And maybe it would be useful in these weeks beforehand to have a talk with them and let them know what it is you want out of Christmas and kind of focus on the positives and see if they won't be willing to rise to that occasion. And it might be important for you and your wife to be clear about what's okay with you, what you're willing to be party to and what you're not. Because if I hear you right, nobody's really setting a really clear boundary about what's acceptable and what's not, even if their gripe is legitimate. So it might be useful for the two of you to say, well, here's what we're willing to do. We're willing to entertain an event where we all get together for Christmas for a few hours. We really want to do that. We want to enjoy you. We want to enjoy our grandkids. But if it's going to be the same old thing, we're not willing to entertain that.
Okay.
And that at least gives you some clarity and gets you out of the crisis of it.
Good luck to you, Bill. This is a tough situation.
I mean, it's really getting old because it happens every time they're together, every time we have a family function. And, you know, we didn't raise our children that way. I don't know why they're doing this. I just, I'm at a loss, and it's really heartbreaking because we do want to see our grandchildren. We want to be with our families. And, both my wife and I, when we were growing up, we really didn't have great family. You know, our parents were always busy, or they were doing other things, and it wasn't family time very much. And myself and my wife, we feel that it's very important to have family time. So,
well, I get it, especially in light of your experiences with your families. You want to create something that's positive. So I think what might be the most positive thing you can do is to say, you know, I get that you guys have a conflict, but we're not willing to be party to it in the few times we get together. And you might find if they're willing to seek just, you know, a couple of sessions of counseling together, which I'm guessing they're going to be reluctant to, but you might use your leverage as a father to press that, that they might find that their differences aren't as profound as you might have thought. Because I got to tell you, I've dealt with situations like this a lot. And when it comes down to it, usually these are ancient conflicts that can be managed in just a couple of hours of focused work. But now would be not the time to do it. Does that make sense?
Yep. So what we need to do is start working on getting a time together for them to maybe go get some counseling after the holidays and work on this.
I'm with you 100% on that, Bill. That makes perfect sense.
Good luck, Bill. We
Good
hope
luck
this works
to you.
Out.
And you can go to drjohnduffy.com and find out about his books and how to contact him. We're going to take a quick break, and then we have some more callers. We're going to do our best to get to most of them. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder at 720 WGN. Dr. John Duffy with us. You can go to his website, drjohnduffy.com. His book, The Available Parent, is awesome. It's helped many a family, including my own. I want to go back, and if listeners, if you're just tuning in, we had actually we're only accepting callers named Bill
That's
today.
That's the way it should be.
And the first Bill who called in, very tragic tale, who lost his wife on Thanksgiving just last week.
A week ago, right. Yeah.
So it's very fresh, and he wanted to know his kids were adjusting very well. And Dr. Duffy said, you know, maybe try this. Maybe say, you know, I've not experienced this before. I don't know where I'm going with this. Let's, you know, navigate this and work it out. Great advice. I have a question, though, because I know some people who might think that a parent, that would show weakness to say, you know, the parent, I've never experienced this before. Let's learn together.
Yeah.
Some people in the old school, our parents were like this. Mine were, at least. It's like you don't question the parent. You do as I say, not as I do. It shows weakness. Does it?
I'm going to argue no. And I get it. Like my parents were like that a generation ago, too. They were protective. They wanted to be right most of the time. I think it's really important now. Kids are really smart and savvy now. Mm-hmm. And it's really important now to let your kids know, like, I'm not always perfect. I don't necessarily know how to navigate this. So let's do this together. First of all, I think it brings parents and kids together. But it's also a good model for kids that, you know, like, you don't have to be perfect. You
right.
know, so it takes some of that pressure off of, you know, this perfectionism that's kind of pervasive in the culture.
That's ruining the families. Everybody's stupid vision of perfectionism, because what's perfect and
right.
who's perfect?
Right, right. No, and behind every door are flaws, you know, and I think it's really important. It's a privilege of my profession to recognize that. And in the flaws is something amazing, you know, about families. It's actually what, like, the true nature of a family is. It's not always in, like, this perfect image that we present to the world. It's in, like, here's where we struggle, you know? And that's when you really get to know people, is, like, here's where I struggle. This is what I'm working on. I'm really working hard to work through it. That's where you find, like, courage in people.
Sure,
that's where you find what they're really made of, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
We had a listener, Sue, who hung up because her name wasn't Bill, and she knew that we would not take that call.
Not a
nope.
chance.
And she wanted to know what the best way is to get the family together to go to counseling. Maybe one parent thinks, you know, I'm going to discuss situations with my kid. Another parent is old school and, you know, you will do as I say.
Right.
How do you make you can't make a family go, but how do you get that to go if maybe there's a reluctant party?
And there's almost always a reluctant party, you know, so I deal with this virtually every day. And first is to recognize, I know this isn't something you want to do, but I think this is a good thing for our family. And to not necessarily, a lot of people think therapy is going to take a lifetime and they're going to have to bear their souls to this stranger that they don't know. It's a very, it's an unknown quantity to a lot of people. So to recognize, you know what, I know this is really anxiety provoking. Let's try it. So a lot of people say we're going to therapy and we are going to kind of follow through with what this person says no matter what.
Right.
My bias is always, let's try it for a couple of sessions and see if we don't get something out of it. Good therapists will help you get something out of it right away where it feels different, where you look at your family a little bit differently. So So my bias is usually if you're struggling, get your family in the room one time. You know, just as an experiment, like, well, we've never done this before. Let's see what this is like. And without a mandate that we're going to be doing this for years on end, and this is going to be some kind of deep psychoanalytic, you know, look into our family. But let's try it and see if we don't get something out of it. Almost always you do. It usually feels better than you think, not worse.
Right. Another quick holiday question for you.
Yeah.
During the break there, during Steve's news, we were all telling stories of families that we know who haven't maybe spoken to each other in years or decades even sometimes.
I don't get that.
But I do get that because this is what always plays in my head. Just because you're of the same bloodline doesn't mean that you see eye to eye on stuff.
Right.
I understand there's conflicts within a family where you say to yourself, why do I need to waste any time in my life spending time with that particular brother or sister?
Because it's your blood. It is your blood. And no one's going to see eye to eye. You and I don't see eye to eye on things.
Right.
You don't just say, I'm not talking to her again.
Well, it would make the show awkward, right? I mean, it's a talk show.
Some dead air, I would guess.
There'd be a lot of dead air.
Answer no.
But I always say to myself, if you only get 70 plus years on the planet,
right,
why would I waste any time spending time with somebody who I don't like and they don't like me?
And the answer to that is you're carrying it around anyway. You know, like a lot of people kid themselves like, you know, oh, I couldn't care less about my family of origin. I choose my family through my friends. And I think you can do that to some extent.
Yeah.
But your family is still your family. And if you're not talking to them, there's a reason.
Yeah.
And a lot of people fool themselves into thinking, I've liberated myself from thy family. I've yet to meet that person. You know, I've known a lot of people. I've yet to meet the person who really liberated themselves from the upset and the angst that they experienced with their family. So going back and resolving some of those things, especially if they're old, you know, can
if
be...
If the problems are old or if the family members are old?
Both.
Both?
Both. Yeah. But, you know, to go back and revisit things and see whether you might feel differently about that person now. People change over time, right?
Right.
So your brother, your sister, whoever it might be, you might be able to find some peace there. And I think anybody who says, you know what, I'm completely estranged from my family, but it's great for me, I rarely buy that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that any family is so toxic that they can't find a way to come together enough.
Yeah, okay.
Well, it just shows when you said you're carrying it around with you. You know, I really started the beginning of this year saying I was going to be Miss Positivity.
I remember that.
And I've fallen off every once in a while. But I don't want to waste my energy worrying about someone else's success or failure or so-and-so makes more money than I do or someone has a better car. Because to me, that's wasting my energy.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to focus on achieving what I can achieve.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I totally get that. And I think that's great. And self-improvement is great. But I mean,
carrying things around, you don't waste that negative energy worrying about other people. Worry about yourself.
Right. Because if you're carrying it around and you're worried about other people, you're still carrying it around, right? And you're not really taking very good care of yourself, right? So whatever you need to do to liberate yourself from some of that, that's a gift to yourself.
John, it's not fair to ask you this because we have 13 seconds left. But what do you think about this rule? Saying to the family at any gathering, Thanksgiving, Christmas, whatever, we can talk about anything we want, but no religion talk and no politics talk. Can that happen or is that not fair?
I think on the whole, it's probably not fair.
Yeah.
And I know we don't have a lot of time, but sometimes when you get kids who are older, it might be interesting if you can remove your judgment from it to hear what they think about the world and about politics and about things that are going on. Sometimes that can foster really positive connection, not just strife. So my bias isn't always to extract that wholly, because sometimes it's really interesting, especially with young people, to hear what they have to say.
I don't know if you guys saw SNL when they had a family gathering, and anytime something uncomfortable came up, they would pump up Adele singing. And it seemed to calm everything. I have downloaded that on my phone. I used it for Thanksgiving. I'll be using it for Christmas.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
It's so great.
John, great to see you again. Have a great holiday. I hope you patch things up with your family. I really do. I know it's been a rough going for you. The book is called The Available Parent, and he's got plenty of other books, all of them very helpful. His website, drjohnduffy.com. Thanks again.
Thank you,
guys. Appreciate it.
Thank
News you. Is next, and then more of us, Bill and Wendy, after that. It's WGN.